guilt, shame, regret. These emotions are common to all of us. No one escapes. Our sinful nature carries a heavy dose of them all. So how do we know when God is using these emotions to send us a message? And how can we get free from the tyranny of guilt, shame, and regret? Furthermore, how do we extend grace and mercy to others? Those are questions Chuck Swindoll will answer as he begins a new teaching series today on Insight for Living. His first message in this study is titled, A Flyover Glance at Guilt and Grace.
We're looking together at Romans chapter 5. I want to read for you just a few verses at the end of the chapter, which serves as a bit of a prologue for the great chapters 6, 7, and 8 of this letter of Paul to the Romans. This section is a section that focuses on our relationship with Christ that is based on grace. It is a grace relationship that is free of guilt. It is free of shame. It is victorious over the grave and death. However, it is a relationship that is, for some strange reason, rarely entered into by God's people. It's almost as if we either haven't heard about it or we're afraid of it, as if we were to take advantage of it. But in fact, grace is to be lived out. Since we have been rescued through Christ at the cross and now live in the realm of grace before our God, we have no fear in the sense of fright before God. We know He is holy and we respect that, but we live freely before Him, and our great hope in life is to help others become free rather than live under the shackles of guilt and defeat and sin. Paul sets us up for that in these verses that we're looking at. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation out of Romans 5, beginning at verse 18 through 21. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as God's people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So, just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It will be my privilege in the weeks to come to announce to you the grace that is ours to claim in Christ. I urge you to be open to the message, regardless of what you may have been taught in other circles or from other sources. Let's allow the Word of God to speak to us that is designed to set us free and through us to set others equally free.
You're listening to Insight for Living, To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now let's resume the message that Chuck titled, A Flyover Glance at Guilt and Grace.
Guilt and grace have been battling it out forever. Just forever. Each one demanding obedience, sort of requiring us, or at least on guilt's part, requiring us to fall under the shadow of its control. But there is grace. Unfortunately, with most people, it seems as though guilt wins out. For some reason that I can never quite figure out, it seems like people prefer to feel guilty rather than to embrace grace. On top of that, they seem to love to make other people feel as guilty as they feel. And they will do everything to bully them or manipulate them so that they fall under that same shadow. And Christians can be the worst at this. Take Mildred, the consummate church gossip, the self-appointed monitor of church morals. She kept sticking her nose into other people's business. And most members resented her extracurricular activities, but they were afraid of her enough to maintain their silence. Until the day Mildred made a major mistake when she took on George. George was a new member of the church, rather crusty guy from a tough background. She accused him of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup parked in front of the only bar in the town. And so the next chance she got, she confronted him and several others standing by as she spoke loud enough for them to hear that everybody knows what you're doing there. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a few moments. He didn't bother to explain that his truck had broken down there and he had to fix it. He didn't try to defend himself or deny anything. He simply stared for those few moments and then walked away saying nothing. But that afternoon, after fixing his truck, he quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house for the rest of the night and left it there. You gotta love George. You know what's amazing? Seems like there are always more Mildreds than Georges. Surely by now in your Christian life, you've encountered a few, whatever his name or her name may have been, who seem to take your life into their affairs and tell you how to live it. And regrettably, they seem to get their way as they push and bully their way through the ranks of most churches. We'll get to all of that stuff later on, but I just want to say that my desire is to dig deeply into Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8 so that you come to the place where you no longer hear what the church gossips have to say to you or about you. The wonderful thing about these chapters is that they provide freedom that many of you don't even realize you have. And so you willingly bow to the bondage of those who try to make you as miserable as they are. and as negative and as nosy. But when you really understand the grace as taught in Romans 6 and the balance of it as it appears in chapters 7 and 8, you will discover a joy and a freedom that you've missed throughout life and finally have found it. I have questions. Like, why are so many like that church gossip? Where did all of our guilt originate? What causes it? How did it get such a grip on us? And why do we surrender to guilt so easily? Why don't we have the temerity to stare a few moments and then just walk away? Romans 5, 12 through 21 will answer many of those questions, if not all of them. We have a problem that we're born with. We were ruined from the start. We got a bad beginning in life, if you will. You understand theologically that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And when Adam sinned, he sinned, as theologians refer to it, as our federal head, meaning he acted in our behalf. Whereas through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death through sin. So a death-like existence passed upon all humanity, for all have sinned. We discover soon in life that we're sinners by nature, by birth, by choice. Deep down inside, there is this, let me use the word, there is this pollution in our system that is fed by the sewage of sin. And the result is the disease of guilt and fear and shame. We live that out. And in our ruined state, which Romans 5, 12 through 14 describes as our ruin, it's like we're in an abyss. We're sunk in that condition from our birth until we are rescued. And in Romans 5, 15 to 19, the rescue is announced. Christ took his place on the cross and died in our behalf, liberating us, freeing us from the control of sin that has plagued us all our lives. Oh, we're still sinful. You don't lose the nature until you are taken to heaven. But you can actually live above the drag of sin. You can live beyond the shackles of guilt and shame because you've been rescued. We have triumph over these things through the death of Christ, and because he died for us and we believe in him, he liberates us from that domination of sin. That's the beauty of this life called the Christian life. And then the magnificent reality that there's a new ruler controlling us. It's no longer the devil and his demons. It's no longer Satan, his emissaries. It's no longer our old nature dominating the way we think and the way we act and the way we talk and the way we react. We now have a new ruler. His name is Jesus. And he delivers us from the control of the old nature within us. Now that fight goes on, but if we know how to handle it, we can claim that triumph we have in Christ and get this, We can live at another plane, another level, another realm. We'll never be unsinful. We'll never be sinless as long as we're on this earth. So there'll always be the battle. However, we're not victims any longer. Without Christ, no hope. No hope. You're not only lost, you're defeated. You make New Year's resolution, and before the 15th of January, you've already broken them. You meant well, you just don't have any power to pull it off. All you've got is your own nature. And that old nature is rather pathetic. Listen to your situation. I was brought forth in a state of iniquity. My mother was sinful, who conceived me, and I too am sinful. Where's that from? Psalm 51, verse 5. As good a woman as my mother may have been, she was sinful. And because she bore me, from her nature, I also was a sinful human being, like my brother and like my sister and like all brothers and all sisters and all mothers and all dads and all grandmothers and all granddads. We all have the same problem. We have this pollution that begins with Adam as the sewage flows through all the bloodstream of humanity called a sinful nature. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Remember learning that little nursery rhyme? You know why they couldn't put him together? Because they too are shattered. They too are broken. Broken people can't put broken people together. It takes someone who isn't broken to give us the ability to live above the shattered condition of our original nature. Did you hear that? His name is Jesus. The beauty of Jesus Christ is not only the promise of eternal life, living forever in heaven, but eternal kind of life, living under the rulership of the Lord Jesus while we're on this earth. The psalmist also writes, "The ungodly are perverse and estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." Psalm 58, verse 3. Do you know that was in the Bible? From the very beginning, you and I know how to lie. I never had to teach our children how to lie. I had to teach them how to tell the truth, because the old nature is a nature of lying and greed and selfishness and rage and lust. That's why there are so many fights in the sandbox, which, by the way, goes on in Congress as well, like children in a sandbox. Fighting for their way. Why? Because that's the only way they know. And the old nature says, fight for it. You get what you fight for. So people live their lives fighting in the flesh to get what they want. And when they get it, they're not satisfied, because the old nature will never satisfy. That's Romans 7. But it's preceded by Romans 6 that says, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live under the control of that old nature that has dominated you all the way through your pre-Christian years. When you came to Christ, he took up, get this, his spirit took up his residence in your life, and he booted out shame. He took the fangs out of death. He took away all that selfishness and ugliness that always dominated you, and he now leaves you with a new nature. You actually have a new nature waiting to take charge so that you don't have to yield to sin. The passage before us tells it all, beginning at verse 15. Look at that with me. Romans 5:15. There is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. Did you see the word greater? Did you hear it? Even greater than the drag of sin and its power over you is this wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. There's the pollution. There's the sewage. It led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. We still are sinful. We can't come to the place where we are sin-free, but we can come to the place where sin no longer dominates. Here's the good news. You don't have to say yes to sin. You say yes because you want to. As one of my friends used to say years ago, we have a deep, settled, abiding love for sin. Until we realize we don't have to drink that polluted sewage. We don't have to feed on that nature. We can meet the sin and all of its temptation with, Lord Jesus Christ, your power is at work in me. I can't fight this on my own. You can do this for me. And I turn it over to you. I give you the controls of my mind and my will. Take over. And because Jesus Christ never once yielded to a sin, when he takes over, there's conquering, there's victory, there's triumph. In fact, it says so. Right here in verse 17, the sin of the one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater, he repeats, is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it, listen, will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Don't answer out loud, but this last week, did you live in triumph? I don't mean this to be in any way negative or condemning, but chances are good you didn't. So you know where you spent your time, where I used to spend my time before I was taught Romans 6, 7, and 8. You spent your time at 1 John 1:9. It's a wonderful promise, but it's after the fact. What does it say? Most Christians have it memorized because we use it so often. If we confess our sins, there they are again, after the fact, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How grateful we are that he will do that. But we don't have to sin. There's a way to live before that that will never even take you to 1 John 1:9. Ever heard of Romans 6, 12 through 14? I doubt that there are 20 believers hearing me right now who can quote from memory Romans 6, 12 through 14, verses of victory. We all seem to know 1 John 1:9 because we were programmed to sin. And this is the way you get your life cleaned up after sin. And it is a wonderful cleansing. But you don't have to go there if you haven't committed sin. Look at it for yourself. Look at Romans 6, verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live.
We're just getting started in this brand new study from Chuck Swindoll. He's titled this series, Living by Grace. In this study, Chuck will draw application from a variety of passages in the book of Romans. To learn more about this series and the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. Those who listen to Chuck's teaching will realize that grace is one of his hallmark topics. It's central in Chuck's preaching because grace is central in the Bible. Sadly, many Christians find themselves trapped by joy-killing legalism or boxed in by religious performance. Well, Chuck wrote a book that has liberated countless readers. It's called The Grace Awakening. When you apply the biblical principles in this book, we believe you'll begin to experience the satisfaction of walking with God rather than performing for Him and everybody else. To purchase a copy of The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. We are deeply grateful for those who have stepped forward to support Insight for Living. Perhaps you have no idea how your giving makes a difference, but we sure do. Every single day, we hear from grateful listeners who hear Chuck's teaching from all points on the globe. And they tell us how God is using Insight for Living to stimulate their walk with God. For example, I just read a note that said, "Hello, I have a young, growing church here in Kenya with 50 members and 20 orphans that I'm caring for. I have heard your teachings and they have really touched my heart." You know, it's your support that make moments like these possible. You can give today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or give a donation online right now by going to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck describes what he calls a flyover glance at guilt and grace, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Flyover Glance at Guilt and Grace, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.